There are major keys to biblical prophecy, not the least of which is the identity of the major nations involved. If you are armed with that information, if you know where Russia, the nations of Central Europe, especially Germany, Britain, and the United States, some of the leading industrial and the largest military and nuclear powers in the world are identified, then you're way ahead. You understand well ahead if you're reading in obscure chapters of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, other chapters and books of the Bible of prophecy, and you know where those nations are identified, then you have a very great key to biblical understanding. If you understand biblical symbolism, for example, if you know that a mountain means a major nation, a hill means a smaller nation, if you know that usually when you read of a woman, especially in the Old Testament, you're going to read about a church or a nation. If it is a church, it is one of two churches, God's true church, which is usually referred to as Zion spiritually, or it can be a great fallen woman, but a woman that you can see riding on a mysterious beast in the 17th chapter of Revelation, referred to in the 47th chapter of Isaiah as a great harlot, a great fallen woman. Fallen woman isn't used anymore in our parlance today, but it is used in biblical phraseology in that sense. And if you have the key that when you see a woman mentioned, daughter of the Chaldeans, for example, is a false fallen church. It is an apostate church. O daughter of the Chaldeans, she is spoken of in Isaiah 47, who calls herself the Lady of Kingdoms. It says, I am, and there is none beside me. So if you know some of these biblical symbols, you're way ahead. If you understand that the Bible is dual, for example, that there is a double meaning, that there is a previous type and a secondary type, then you're also way ahead. You have the equipment and the knowledge ahead of time to understand biblical prophecy. What about the times of the Bible? There's a major key in the book of Ezekiel, the 4th chapter, and it tells you that a day is a year being fulfilled. And then you can see, and I'm going to show you that in this program, how you can prove very quickly and very easily that a number of years are going to transpire before a certain prophecy will take place. You read in the book of Ezekiel and also in the book of Revelation and other places, the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, is an outstanding example of a certain number of days. For example, in Ezekiel, the 4th chapter, to give you a key, in verse 4, Ezekiel was told, lie thou also upon your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it according to the number of the days that you shall lie upon it, you shall bear your iniquity. For, notice verse 5 and 6, I, says God, have laid upon you, Ezekiel, the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days. So Ezekiel was to lie on his side for a certain number of days, and those days would symbolize a certain number of years. Now that's a biblical key. That's a prophetic key to understanding that a day in a prophecy. If a prophet comes along and says, Jerusalem is going to be trodden down for 3 days, you will know that that means, when it's fulfilled, 3 years. Now, there is no such prophecy as that, but I want to use that as an example. It says in verse 5, I have laid upon you the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shall you bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you've accomplished them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah, 40 days. I have appointed you each day for a year. Numbers, the 14th chapter and 34th verse, says the same thing. According to the number of days that they searched out the land, thus and such was going to happen. And so you have two scriptures in the Bible, Ezekiel 4:6, Numbers 14:34, that tell you that a day is a year being fulfilled. Let me show you an interesting chapter where you can put that to the test. In my old King James Bible, in the Oxford version, both of these scriptures, all three of them, are actually in the same place on a two-page spread, and probably they're the same way in your Bible. We begin in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation in verse 6. It talks about the woman. Here's another biblical symbol. This, the symbol of the true church of God, because it says, beginning in verse 2, she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And this woman, then, is the church, conceptually, in God's mind, his ecclesia, his body of believers, the body of Jesus Christ on this earth, down through all of history, from the conception in the mind of God in heaven before the earth ever was. This 12th chapter of the book of Revelation begins way back before the creation of earth, at the rebellion of Satan the devil, the plan of the creation of mankind, the so-called fall of man, but man didn't fall, he was pushed, if you understand it. Then, of course, the entire plan of redemption and of salvation, concluding in this brief inset chapter, a history of the church, as it were, from the time of its conception in the mind of God until the time of the persecution by this great woman during the great tribulation prophesied in Matthew 24. In verse 6 of the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, the woman, which is the church, a biblical symbol, fled into the wilderness. The wilderness is also a symbol. Now, it can mean a chaotic spiritual wilderness, a political wilderness. It can mean literally a desert or a wild place. A mountain place would suffice. It doesn't have to be bereft of water to be a wilderness. It can be an absolute wilderness area if it means it's wild and natural and with animals and the flora and fauna and so on, undisturbed basically by man and by man's development, where she has a place prepared of God. What was that place during 1,260 years in the Middle Ages? A place of protection, a place of safety. You know, Jesus said that our lives are protected, that we are to abide in him, and Jesus called himself the rock. Deuteronomy 32 speaks of him as the rock. He is that rock that followed the Israelites, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, in the wilderness. And the Apostle Paul wrote, your life is hid with Christ in God.